Morning, everyone. You might have noticed in that hymn that we sung, and in the prayers that have already been prayed, that we can take things to the Lord in prayer, but nowhere in that hymn or in our prayers does it promise that those troubles will be taken away. We define strength in the Lord in the midst of those troubles, and that's what the Christian life is all about, or at least one of the things that it's all about. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, reading from verse 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God, which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him, in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. As we saw the last time in our introduction, and as Dennis also said the week before, the Corinthian church had many problems. In many ways it was a rich church, being as it was composed of quite a large number of people in the city of Corinth, a merchant or port city, and we saw the situation that the city was in on the overhead last week. In some ways we might be able to compare it to one of the mega churches that we find today, rich in monetary terms but poor in other ways, or some other ways. I heard this week of a church in the States which spent $1 million on a chandelier for their main hall, and that was back in the 1970s, when $1 million could buy a whole lot more than it can today. And it gets worse, because it transpired that it was an exact copy of the one they'd just made. And when it was being put up, the chains which held it in place broke and it shattered all over the floor. So that's $2 million of Christian giving spent on a chandelier. And yet how many missionaries are there in the world doing God's work and who are living hand to mouth, or even coming back from the mission field because they're not being properly supported by their sponsoring churches? And even though the Corinthian church had their problems, as we know, which probably had nothing to do with chandeliers, but were wandering off the Christian pathway in different directions, Paul doesn't begin his epistle by naming those problems, although it doesn't take him long to get there. He starts off by thanking God for them in verse 4. And reminding them in verse 2 that they are sanctified in Jesus Christ, called to be saints along with all others who name the name of Jesus. We often say thank you to people, don't we, if we see they've done something for us. And sometimes we might say thank you because that's what's expected of us. That's what we've been trained in our upbringing to do. Might not always be heartfelt thanks. Sometimes it can be quite superficial. I wonder sometimes when we're here on a Sunday giving thanks to God for all that he's done for us through Jesus, is our thanksgiving really heartfelt, or is it something that we do out of habit? But not so with Paul here. That word for thanks, which is often a translation of the Hebrew word tada, can also mean to give praise. I praise my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus. And that's always how we get our justification as well as our sanctification, isn't it? By the grace of God. We can't do any of it on our own, can we? We can't justify ourselves, and we certainly can no better sanctify ourselves. But we can, with God's help, through his Spirit, start to walk our day-to-day lives in what we already are in Christ Jesus. often referred to in Christianity as positional truth, our position in Christ, in what God has declared us to be, his adopted sons and daughters. And our position can become our experience. So if these people in Corinth were justified, and they were, from the moment they trusted in Jesus as their Saviour, then they were also by definition sanctified as well. And that's true of every believer, isn't it? It's true of them, just as it's true of us, no matter how many times we fail as believers, just as they did. And that's something that we should really thank and praise God for. We don't need to go back to the law as the Galatians tried to do, because all that the law can do is condemn us, just as it condemned many in Israel, who tried to achieve both their justification and their sanctification by attempting to keep the law, instead of simply trusting God for it. Now we as believers might have our own laws, our own rules and regulations in our hearts. Not necessarily the Ten Commandments that we think we might need to keep in order to be sanctified. Perhaps there are legitimate things that we don't do on a Sunday that we're happy to do during the week. Maybe we think that if we come to church every Sunday without fail, then that will also sanctify us. Don't get me wrong, because being here is a part of our ambassadorship, a part of our functioning together as the body of Christ. But if we make it a law, if we think that somehow just by being here, then that's a part of our sanctification, even though we may not necessarily be here in our minds when we are, then we've missed the point, haven't we? Because we're already sanctified by God's grace. All we need to do is walk in what we've already been declared to be. And yes, being here out of genuine thankfulness for God in all that he's already accomplished for us, and in the hope or confident expectation of what he's promised to do for us in the future. And that's a part of our walk as well. Just like the Corinthians should have done if they'd heeded what Paul had already taught them. Because as we reminded ourselves last week, Paul wrote the book of Romans and therefore had already told these people the content of that epistle. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, in verse 4, that you were enriched in everything by him, in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. Remember that testimony of Christ as we heard last week from Acts chapter 18. Now the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision. Do not be afraid, but speak, and do not keep silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack you or hurt you, for I have many people in that city. Many people whom the Lord called to be his own. They just needed to hear it from Paul. I wonder how many of our friends and acquaintances God has called